Hello, Martin here. I started this and I don't know yet where I am going, but I prepared a few tools to help us get along. As you and others already have discovered, the internet is not anymore what it once was. The excitement of freedom and exploring the new has been replaced by the overwhelming experience of being blocked, held up, insulted, distracted, hacked into, and totally put off. More and more people turn back to the analog world of the so-called real world for its intrinsic values of real pain instead of avatar pain, the real sunrise, real surprise when we realize how friendly people actually can be if only allowed. Noticing this new trend towards the analog, I invented the Going Outside app.
Want to spit first?
No, you gotta ask
no
the question.
No spitting. Okay, I'll ask the question and then you can spit it out.
I won't speak much.
The question is, does Tony Abbott, we know he doesn't have a brain in the skull, but does he have three testicles? Is that the reason why he walks so funny?
Is this on, mate?
Yes.
Tony Abbott, three nuts. Look.
Hitler had one and he dreamt of having two. Maybe Tony Abbott overdone it there a bit.
No, well, what we do know is he's got two dicks because you can't be that stupid for pulling one.
Right. What about the hairdo of Marge? Doesn't she need to have a look at The Simpsons to get it right?
Who's Marge? His wife?
Yeah. The new lady, first lady, man.
She should go hang around with, not Bronwyn Bishop, what's the other one?
The one
Julia.
With the crossed eye.
Yeah, Bronwyn Bishop
the
will show her how to do
eye job in the
she does
childhood.
Good head yeah, in the morning.
Yeah.
She gets up at 4 a.m. to do her hair.
She plays the cougar.
Who, Marge?
Marge's. The cross-eyed one. Bishop. Yeah. She looks for, botched eye job.
I'd like to deal with her.
Hello? Who's there?
I posebno su lokalnite vlasti.
Kim Jong-un?
Otak od 2007. godina.
Ah, well, yes, now I understand. You want me to call Barack Obama so he will call you in North Korea, yes?
Agencijata za iseljeništvo?
Well, I can't really. What? Well, Mr. Un, I try my best to contact someone more capable to perhaps reach Mr. Obama. No, don't mention my name, just... Yeah, you don't need to shout, Mr. Un. What? I said you don't need to shout. It only distorts everything. Mr. Un, you don't need to shout. It's all garbled over here. Please don't shout, Mr. Un. On the Going Outside app. I always wanted to know, I just got this call from Kim Jong-un in North Korea and he urgently wants to speak to Obama. Do you know a way how to let Obama give him a call?
Obama is in a meeting right now, but tell him he can speak to some young guy.
Well, I can't, so he's Kim Jong-un.
He should go and talk to his China specialist, some young guy.
It's a guy. It's like the nasty uncle from next door, Anyway, thanks for the advice.
You're welcome.
I'll try my best.
I do what I can to help.
I'd really
Thank
love
you.
To have Obama talking to Kim Jong-un very soon.
I hope so, too. Maybe we can find peace in this world.
Take the opportunity again, Mr. Speaker, of reaffirming the correctness of the government's assessment in pre-deploying our forces. Not only was the military operation completed quickly and successfully, but it is also worth recording that all of the doomsday predictions were not realised. There were not millions of refugees, and there was no long drawn out bloody Stalingrad style street to street fighting in Baghdad. For all of this, Mr. Speaker, we must be immensely grateful. Mr. Speaker, the decisive victory of the American-led coalition reflects enormous credit on the strength and the determination of the leadership of President Bush, Mr. Speaker. And again, I remind the House, the performance of the President and the leadership that he's given on this occasion, I believe, will bring about a permanent change in attitudes in the Middle East. Take the opportunity again, Mr. Speaker. There were not millions of refugees, and there was no long, drawn-out, bloody Stalingrad-style street-to-street fighting in Baghdad. Take the opportunity again, Mr. Speaker. There were not millions of refugees. For all of this, Mr. Speaker, we must be immensely grateful. Take the opportunity again, Mr. Speaker. And there was no long, drawn-out, bloody Stalingrad-style street-to-street fighting in Baghdad. Take the opportunity again, Mr. Speaker. The performance of the President and the leadership that he's given on this occasion, I believe, will bring about a permanent change in attitudes in the Middle East. Will bring about a permanent change in attitudes in the Middle East. For all of this, Mr. Speaker, we must be immensely grateful. In the Middle East. 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 For all of this, Mr. Speaker, we must be immensely grateful. We must be immensely grateful. Immensely grateful.
And now on the Going Outside app once more.
Just going to ask you, I've got this phone call this morning. It's Kim Jong-un from North Korea. He wants urgently to speak to Obama. Did you notice?
I didn't.
He can't get that call.
What? He hasn't got a direct line.
Maybe his internet is blocked or something. Or the phone lines are blocked or something that holds it back. He can't reach Obama. And Obama, he's urgent. He wants him to speak to him.
I see.
And now he knows he wants to talk to Obama.
And what do you think the conversation would go like?
I think there's trouble with the Chinese. That's why I suspect. But anyway, that's one thing. The other thing is, do I get notified now when there is some sort of capsicum spray wielding, toting, laser toting policemen moving into my neighborhood with this new law the coalition wants to introduce for protecting the border?
We better go into that very carefully and just find out just what it is they'll use the capsicum spray on, who and what for.
And the tasers.
And the taser.
And it that doesn't concern you if there's someone like that living right next door to you. I mean, pedophilia has been mentioned, criminality has been mentioned, and refugees, which cannot be accommodated in detention, so they're in the community, and that's the whole background of it. But I just wonder whether I should sort of get notified now when there is a right-wing racist politician moving into my neighborhood.
I think we should do something about
that. We need to get notified.
Up saying we must be notified. Because
if Scott Morrison moves into your neighborhood,
there'll be so much mayhem because we're all bloody criminals and we're all bloody pedophiles and all that. Exactly. So we'll be tasering, they'll be tasering and peppering and spraying and
chaining and unchaining. Yeah. Good, okay.
Safety net begin When it comes to toys, it seems everything old is new again. Lego making a comeback.
On this year's exhibition, LEGO is proud to present LEGO 2.0, a revolutionized, forward-adapted theme for the future of your child. Let your child of today explore the best possible world in a highly energized environment of financial success in the future. Build LEGO Wall Street. Indulge in skyscrapers with helipads and penthouses, avenues with prestigious hotels and bars, and the famous debt clock, all with value-added shiny titanium-coated Lego blocks, distinguished from the usual three color schemes with ordinary PVC blocks. All transparent pieces such as windows are made of unbreakable, highly polished synthetic glass with space specifications. This is not a cheap set. Lego Wall Street wants the child to appreciate the value of upper-class goods and services, the privilege amongst Legoland products, and learn to strive early in life for a better life. Lego Wall Street, a wall to keep out the ordinary children.
I am a primitive voice with a crappy 8-bit code from a subhuman developer of the planet Nerdia. My library has the linguistic capacity of a small Nerdian tootle. Microsoft is not my friend, Adobe sucks, and all of them can go to the digital scrapyard, as far as I am concerned. Although I sound like a guy mumbling during a suicide watch, I'm okay. I just wished I'd add the other 8 bits to sound less dorky. Carfoot X Radio abuses me. I hate my job. Go!
The constant production of new schemes of the health industry selling new problems to us with gusto out of the fear department and then suddenly appearing with the desired remedy, well, all that is nothing new to us. Presently, the nanny state technique is applied. We had it with smoking. Now we're attacking obesity. So, here it comes, the obesity patch to wean you off. Just stick one on your fat belly in the morning and go without food. Go, go, go. Go on over that hump, you inert patcher.
You know, we should do something about the rainbow tax.
The rainbow tax?
Yeah, the rainbow tax. These rainbows just don't want to pay their share of tax in this country.
Well, rainbows are fragile and taxing them could damage them.
Look, rainbows have been getting away too long with huge profits and everyone knows how rich they are.
You mean the pot of gold at the end of the,
We need to compel the rainbows to pay their taxes or I won't have any credibility left for the September election.
Okay, let's assume you would tax the rainbows. That would diminish their spectral asset value.
Spectral asset value? Are we crazy? I'll have a spectral asset in a minute.
Listen up. If you see a rainbow, what do you see? Don't answer. You see colors. That's what rainbows look like. If you tax the rainbows, they would lose some colors. Say, we would only see, say, yellow and red in the rainbow. That's a useless rainbow, a financially unviable rainbow. So
we cannot tax any colors away for our government revenue. But what about the invisible parts?
What do you mean, invisible?
Simple. A rainbow can be seen as a spectrum of colors from red to blue with yellow and green in between. But if we tax the infrared and the ultraviolet, which no one can see, we would not cause the cursed spectral asset value reduction.
Brilliant, lad! Let's work out the specifics and formulate a media release along the lines, government finally gets rainbows to cough up due taxes, or such thing.
Thanks for your time tonight.
Well, my pleasure to be with you, Brian, on this great and noble new enterprise of yours. It's a thrill.
Thank you very much.
Good on you.
Now, you were with the Olympic swimming team.
Yeah, we were doing media liaison with the swimming team prior to the London Olympics, Brian. Yeah.
And you were at the Olympics training camp.
Yes, I was, indeed, yes.
And did you see the press conference the other day?
Oh, yes, yes, we ran it, Brian. It went very well indeed. We're thinking of doing another one. It was a cracker, wasn't it?
Okay, but before we get to what needs to be done, let's just be clear about exactly what happened. Where were you?
Where were we in England? We were in Manchester.
In the team hotel.
That's right, yes.
With the relay team.
Yes, all the boys were there. We were all there.
And when was this?
This was about probably 2 days before the competition started.
Yes, and there was a storm.
It was a huge storm, one of the biggest storms I've ever seen.
Mm, tell me about that.
Well, it was an enormous, huge storm. You know, there
The sky's dark.
Yeah, the skies got very dark, glowering skies. There was an enormous wind.
Mm, rain?
Huge amount of rain. You couldn't see. It was an enormous amount of rain.
Okay, so where was the teacup?
Teacup was on the table.
Just sitting on the table?
Sitting on the corner of the table, yeah.
And was there a saucer?
A saucer? Honestly can't remember whether there was a saucer.
Oh, it doesn't matter. How did the storm actually get into the teacup?
Well, the storm was coming at us from the north.
And which way did the room face?
The whole hotel was orientated towards the north. That's the direction.
So the window was open?
Yeah, the window was open.
And who left the window open?
Well, look, Brian,
Someone must have left the window
clearly
open.
Clearly someone left it open, Brian. I don't know who it was. We've repeatedly apologised to anyone who was affected by this.
Yes,
it's easy to look back now, isn't it?
But was it left open?
I don't know, Brian.
Well, where was team management when all this was going on?
I don't know. But it's easy to look back with hindsight.
Well, shouldn't they have been there? Surely they must have known that this sort of thing was going to happen.
Brian, I don't think anybody could have predicted it, and in retrospect, obviously the window shouldn't have been open. It should have been closed.
Okay, so what did you do when you realised there was a storm in the teacup?
Well, we put the kettle on.
You had tea?
Yeah.
Who had tea?
We all did.
Everyone had tea?
Yeah.
Put your hand up if you had tea. 2 days before the competition started, you had tea?
Yeah.
Good grief. I despair. I really, really, really do.
I'll have to go soon, Brian, because we've got training. I'm supposed to be at the pool. I love talking to the media, but our main point of a swimming team is to get really good at swimming quite quickly.
You had tea. Good Lord.
I really will have to go, Brian.
Folks, let's assume for a little excursion into financial believe land that banks really produce money from thin air. By that logic, the government can tax thin air to raise its necessary revenue and spend it all on thin air policies so as to produce thin air outcomes. Therefore, the opposition can then accuse the government of a thin air budget deficit. However, thin air spending cuts will suffocate most thin air industries already struggling since the global thin air crunch. The intent of saving thin air implies someone else is wasting thin air. Now, economists can point out that there is no such thing as waste of thin air possible in this system. It is rather a matter of a subjective point of view that thin air doesn't get invested with your friends, but rather with your adversaries, who are called then thin air greedy. A thin air investor expects to obtain thin profit. That's a special thin air he can keep and indeed reinvest or waste as a point of view. But for someone else, it's a thin air liability. The whole exercise will not resolve peacefully into thin air. In fact, a conflict of thin air of one side versus thin air of another side will emerge. Both sides declare each other thin air evil and fight the thin air battle. The population on both sides will eventually choke on too much thin air. Hang on, choke on too much thin air. I'm feeling dizzy. There must be something wrong with my initial thin air producing money idea. Why does normal thick air not interfere with thin air, normally only found in greater altitudes of high-rise finance palaces? Has playing air guitar anything to do with it? You must forgive some of the going outside apps sound a bit politically jaded and disaffected. But you know, on today's show were Andy, Graham, Sledge, they're all on the going outside apps. Furthermore, John Howard from 2003, Harry Shearer, Clark and Dore, and sounds were by Judex Rose. And I'd like to take you out with Luke Wazella, who has dedicated himself to fighting coal seam gas fracking with this song, a former Nimbin local. I'm Martin, catch you all next time.
town. They're here to take the gas out of the ground and drain the water till the country's dry. They're here to poison the well, set fire to the sky. How can I be silent watching this go down? It's a big money invasion of our people and our town. Is this still Australia we're living in? Friends, this is a crime, it's a curse and it's a sin. It's the mighty dollar, it's high and mighty, but a corporate profit is not the almighty. Leave it in the ground, leave it in the ground. How can I be silent watching this go down? Leave it in the ground. I feel it in my spirit, friends. This is wrong. They sold the country underneath us for a song. This land away. I hear the voice of past and future generations say, it's the mighty dollar, it's warm and inviting, but the safety of our food and water, that's a fight worth fighting.
Come on!
Leave it in the ground, leave it in the ground.
Leave it in the ground.
How can I be silent watching this go down? Leave it in the ground. Leave it in the ground. We have to find a better way, 'cause nobody believes it's safe unless you're on company pay. Australia's choking on the mighty, mighty dollar. Done wrong to this land before, but not like this. If we step across this line, we're stepping into the abyss. This is a rape of our earth. This is reckless plunder. A land of greed and swindle has become the land down under. Well, I say leave it in the ground for a country with a future. For a country reconciling its past, the generations yet to be born.
Leave it in the ground, leave it in the ground. Leave it in the ground, leave it in the ground.
Leave it, the mighty God, it's not the almighty.
Kaput.
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 Kaput. Radio.
Oh, what did I do today?